Well, wrapping up our program is actually the second of two bookends to a promise that we made to the New England Rural Health Association back in the spring when they revealed that they were going to be holding their annual conference here in Connecticut. That conference was a few weeks ago down in New London, and we're pleased to welcome back their executive director, Andy Lowe, who also wears a number of other hats, but he is the leader of the New England Rural Health Association, which is providing and improving the health and well-being of rural communities throughout the six New England states, including us here in Connecticut. They're the only regional rural health association in the country enabling the sharing of learning and best practices across these six states. We're going to hear a little bit about some of the high points of the conference, as well as a brand new initiative that they're, or a couple of relatively new initiatives that they're launching. We just want to bring you another critically important piece of public health and safety information, courtesy of our friends at the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection and the Connecticut Fire Academy. They're reminding homeowners to get your chimney cleaned soon, but be wary of scams targeting cleaning and repair services. Since last fall, the Department of Consumer Protection has received almost 50 complaints involving chimney-related services. Some owners reported being approached by door-to-door solicitors that are offering a low estimate to fix an urgent structural issue that didn't really exist. So remember, any individual conducting a chimney repair, they have to hold an active home improvement contractor registration through the Department of Consumer Protection. And if you want to verify that the chimney repair company you choose has an active registration, you can search the business name through elicense.ct.gov. All right. Andy, I'm sure tragedies and issues related to chimneys and related appliances are something that is of concern to you guys, too, all over rural New England.
Oh, certainly, John. So many people heat with wood that's certainly an issue. It can be for, obviously, for people that just with oil or things like that. But we do hear of it that this is one of the kind of environmental health or public health issues that kind of, I think, flies a little below the radar for some people. But it is so critical. And one of the things that I think to be aware of is the number of older adults that are heating their homes with wood and who can be prey to some of these
scammers,
unscrupulous kinds of people.
Yeah. Very good. Well, we have already in our prior conversation welcomed the New England Rural Health Association to Connecticut for your annual conference. Let's take 5 minutes to recap the conference and a couple of the high points that came out of it.
Sure, John. We were thrilled to have our largest attendance ever. We had over 400 total attendees this year. We've grown steadily, I think, in the last 5 years from about 250 to now.
It's because everybody wants to come to Connecticut. That's why.
Well, I have to say the last 2 years were record shattering. So Connecticut was certainly a great host state for us.
Great. So once you wrapped it all up and you finally got home and you poured a cold drink or an adult beverage and put your feet up, what was the one thing that really resonated most with you in terms of the presenters or the content or the initiatives that launched or will be coming out of this conference?
Well, certainly the theme was rural health in a changing world, and we know that so many things are going on at the federal level.
Yes.
Recently, one thing that's happened that was probably dominated the discussion more than anything else with everyone I talked to at the conference is the Rural Health Transformation Program. And so quickly, what this involves is that as the one big beautiful budget bill was launched, there was a program that was included in that was called the Rural Health Transformation Program. We sometimes call the RHTP. And that basically is a $50 billion, that's $50 billion with a B, $50 billion program for the next 5 years. And it's going to provide at a minimum of $100 million a year to each state in the country to advance rural health. And there are some very specific guidelines about how the money can be spent. But it's meant to, in some measure, offset some of the cuts that are going to be coming in Medicaid for our rural residents in our various states. So each one of the New England states had about 2 months to prepare an application for this five-year grant. The money is coming from CMS directly to the states. And each state has been doing that. Connecticut submitted their application in the early part of November, just before our conference. And now until December 31st is the date by which the CMS is going to announce the awards. And once that happens, we're expecting in the first part of 2026, the money should start flowing. So the states have all been really rushing to get these applications done. And Connecticut has posted theirs on their website. If anybody Googles Connecticut Rural Health Transformation Program application, you'll get to that link pretty easily. And I have to credit the state of Connecticut. They were very transparent in their process and posted all of the application, including the budget. So this is going to mean there's going to be a lot of money available for the next 5 years going specifically towards rural health, and it'll be able to help the hospitals that serve rural patients, the community health centers and clinics and so on, but a lot more things like workforce help to increase the workforce serving rural areas and so on.
Now, I know the last time our conversation kind of was anchored by mental health, because we ran it in Mental Health Awareness Month, but or just after. Is this application in part sanctioning or telegraphing a hope to earmark some of that money toward bolstering mental health services and personnel to deliver it here in Connecticut?
Yes, that's an explicit part of the notice of funding opportunity, or the NOFO, included behavioral health and substance use disorder, and particularly opioid use disorder, as areas to be addressed. So, yeah, those funds can be targeted at increasing the workforce and in strengthening and starting new programs to deal with behavioral health and substance use disorder kinds of issues.
Okay. Just for comparison's sake, I wanted to broaden out the scope of things to try to create some perspective for the listeners. So when we ratchet out your long view across all of New England, we see the states, and Connecticut is the second smallest, but some of the other larger states have vast areas where the rural health service candidates are much fewer and far between. If you could gauge a proportion when you're looking at the state of Connecticut, roughly, what are we talking about in terms of numbers here? Thousands, tens of thousands?
Oh, it's certainly tens of thousands. And I would say it probably gets into probably the low hundreds of thousands. I don't have the numbers at my fingertips. Oh, okay. But one of the things to be aware of is there's a federal definition of rurality as far as healthcare goes. Mm. But the state office of rural health has its own definition. And that's much, much broader than the federal definition. So in Connecticut, there are the primary areas would be the northeastern and northwestern corners of the state. Mm-hmm. But there are areas here and there in between that are, I'll tell you, when I was driving from Vermont down to Mystic for our conference, going on Route 84, Interstate 84, east out of Hartford, and then Route 2.
Yes.
As people know, that it's largely rural that entire way down towards the coast. So there's a lot more than people realize.
Yeah, and rural tracts abutting urban areas, never mind suburban. I mean, just driving from my hometown up in Waterbury down to New Haven, through towns like Bethany and Prospect and Woodbridge, you're going past a number of farms and more sparsely populated places. So that's great to hear that this program is going to have such far-reaching impact to such a large number of folks here in Connecticut. We've got about 4 or 5 more minutes with you, Andy. What were a couple of the other things that came out of that conference that are going to give you either inspiration or traction toward initiatives that you'll hope to take up or improve upon in 2026?
Sure. Before I say that, though, let me just say that you talked about going down through Bethany, which is where I grew up.
And Yes.
So
the home of our rock and rollers from Sonic Youth, right? Bethany, Connecticut.
Yeah. Well, it was really rural when I was growing up. The things that really came out of the conference for me is, first and foremost, was the passion and the connectedness of people from across New England that came together. The sheer volume in the plenary sessions, when you had several hundred people in the same room, was amazing. And these people are talking about rural health, and they're passionate. There has been clearly some erosion of some of the funding and programs in healthcare in recent months, and the enthusiasm and the innovative ways that people are looking to make up the deficit that's coming is really inspiring. Things that are really coming along are certainly a number of the technologies. We had our exhibitor hall was overflowing, and things like AI. There are definitely technologies coming that are going to help. With increasing access to care. At the same time, people are clearly looking at things very carefully, like AI, and so that's going to be certainly a hot topic in coming months and years.
Very good. To close things out, let folks know how they could come to the New England Rural Health Association to learn more about what you're doing here in Connecticut and across our neighboring states.
Sure. The easiest way is our entry is to our website, nerha.org. And there's information there about joining the association. We would love to have people join. We have a list of projects and programs, as well as a number of resources for people. We have a mapping utility where people can get information about rural health disparities across New England, down to the county level and so on. So nerha.org is the easiest way. We'd love to have people. Also, they can just sign up for a free profile and get our monthly newsletter, which goes out to our 6,000 mailing list of 6,000 people, and our magazine and so on. So love to have people join us that way.
And you are not proprietary to medical and healthcare professionals, right?
Oh, we take health as being very broad. It really includes environmental people. We really encourage the business community to get involved, law enforcement, courts. It's certainly behavioral health and physical health, but much more widely too. Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate your time, Andy, and closing the gap on our promised second visit here. We really appreciate the New England Rural Health Association for considering Connecticut not once, but twice, maybe three times for your annual conference. Glad it went so well, and that you're sharing this important information about how well Connecticut rolled out its application process for this important new rural health transformation program. We look forward to catching up with you again, perhaps in another 5 or 6 months, to hear other ways that the state of Connecticut is using that transformation funding to better the rural health for all of us, not just here in Connecticut, but across New England. Folks, we'll bid farewell now to Andy Lowe, Executive Director of the New England Rural Health Association, that offers a wide variety of member services across all sectors of healthcare professions, stakeholders, and communities, including rural health clinics, critical access hospitals, community health centers, behavioral health and substance use, oral health, dental, social services, community-based organizations, academic institutions, and individuals who are all passionate about rural health. That could be you. Go to NERHA.org to learn more and consider becoming a member of the New England Rural Health Association. Andy, great to hear your voice, and we'll talk to you again in the early summer. Thanks.
Thanks, John. Anytime. Love to talk to you.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.